This is episode 79 of The Variety Artist. This is John Abrams, your host and that guy that interviews successful variety artists from around the world. Did you ever wonder what happens to the folks that are buzzed out on America's Got Talent? Well, last week, I saw one of the funniest live shows I've ever seen. It was called America's Got Talent Rejects. It was put on by my friend Seth Ward. You've probably seen Seth Ward on America's Got Talent or The Gong Show as Seth Ward the Caterpillar, Seth Ward the Walrus, or Seth Ward the Giraffe. The show starred a bunch of acts that were on AGT, America's Got Talent, that got X'd out of the competition by the judges. You'd probably recognize every single one of them. Well, the entire cast was nice enough to grant me interviews. You'll hear from Dave Getzel, known on the show as Andy Pigkins. Did he really get booed off the stage? You'll hear from Eric Hellwig, known as Death, how he created the character and why he went on America's Got Talent. There's Stacey Michelle, known as the Gargle Singer, who, by the way, is becoming an advocate for African-American women with ADHD. Impressionist Corey Jacob, only seen as the guy with the toilet seat on his head, but there's much more to him than that. You'll hear from Nikki Bond, known as Instagirl, who has some very surprising philosophies about social media. And lastly, Jay Light, the belly button poking guy. Is that all he does? I think you'll be surprised. Each interview is about 7 or 8 minutes. You'll get to know these folks a little better and realize, like I did, that there's much more to each of them than the minute or two you see on TV. We're pulling back the curtain. You're about to find out how these shows really work. Oh, and make sure to check out the show notes page for this one at thevarietyartist.com. I posted pictures of each person, each character, so you know exactly who's talking. Now, on with the show.
Welcome to The Variety Artist, providing aspiring artists and entertainers with in-depth discussions from top performers from all over the world. So get ready to book some gigs, make some money, and have some fun with your host, John Abrams.
He's the one that put this whole thing together. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Seth Ward. How's it going, Seth Ward?
Hey, John.
What's going on, man?
Oh, living the dream, baby. Living the dream.
Well, I'm going to have you on here and all of your cast from America's Got Talent Rejects. Before we get into the show itself, tell me about your AGT experience.
Oh, it's been a whirlwind. Ups and downs, lots of exciting moments. Really, I think the biggest thing I could say about AGT is that it's fairly unpredictable as far as what is my role and how that show operates, I guess. It's seeming you think you know what it's about. They've been around for so long. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I've had some interesting opportunities just within the show itself that's been very, I don't know, surprising, I guess, to me.
Well, what do you mean? What kind of opportunities?
Well, just getting to go back. By getting, I mean, like, I went on the show in the beginning knowing that I was going to be a boot off. They never really tell you that. They're always kind of hyping you up. You know, like, you're so funny. This is, like, going to be great. They have to love you, like, that kind of thing. But yeah, Deep down, you know, like, this isn't, I'm a rejected talent. They have to have a certain number of these on the show. I wasn't brought on to win the show or get past the judges. So it's an interesting experience, I tell you.
So did you kind of know going in, you kind of knew going in that you'd be getting X'd?
Yes, it's weird, and then when you're talking to other rejects, they all have the similar idea. Like, they know they're not, deep down they know they're not the act for the show, but there's a weird thing that happens when you're backstage and everybody has equal rights of winning $1 million and everybody's excited and you have all this energy and you know, like, you've been training, like, what you do for a living is funny. It's fun. You get paid to do what you do. There's, like, this little piece of this competition that kind of creeps. Well, they might enjoy this. They might like this. This could be potential. They're asking you, what are you going to do for your next act if you make it pass? So they're never really leading you on as being like, okay, when you get booed off stage, then come over here on this side. Because we're not going to do interviews with you or blah, blah, blah. You know, they never say anything like that to where you're like, oh yeah, yeah, that's the reality I'm in. You're kind of in the reality of potential winning.
Yeah. So no matter what happens, they give you the mindset of, yeah, you're an act that's going to be possibly winning this whole thing.
Yeah. Because I mean, everybody is, and it's a way for them to also legally be like it worked, because they don't pay anybody. So your payment is opportunity of almost winning. You're on a game show. You're not on anything else. You're not acting. You're not performing for anybody. You're literally going on stage and playing their game. If you're good at that game, you have potential of winning the lotto, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you get buzzed. You get buzzed. I don't even know how to say that. You get X'd with the four X's or two X's for your Walrus act. And then later on, sometime you decide, hey, I'm going to put this America's Got Talent reject show together. How did you come up with that?
So last year, whenever I was on AGT, there was this feeling like immediately after, because I go in knowing I'm going to get buzzed. And then immediately after, I was like physically affected in a way because you don't really, it's like physically screaming at you to go die feels like until you actually have that. And you can kind of prep yourself knowing this is, you know, I know what I'm doing. They kind of get the gist. Like, I'm obviously a guy in a child's sleeping bag with gloves on to make me look like a caterpillar. Like, this is silly. It's not malicious in any way. I go on stage, I feel like I've done something wrong. They're like screaming. They hate me. And I'm not talking about necessarily judges. The judges didn't like me, but those are four people. I'm talking about 2,000, just a complete variety of human beings that are in their young, old, and their faces and their arms and their actions, their energy, they throw that at you. A human is like viscerally affected in a way. You know that feeling. Mm-hmm. But I had never been booed off of a very large stage by 2,000 people. And I felt like, oh man, that wasn't good. I did something very wrong.
Yeah.
And it was a weird moment, because I knew what I was doing and I thought it was silly. It was funny to me, but I felt bad. And then I had a buddy who also auditioned. We do this very similar stuff. Kevin Krieger, he's a really good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He does very similar comedy. We're in a comedy group in LA. We perform. It's like an alternative clown type of performance. And so we know the value of what we do. We know the value of our comedy. We love playing with each other. And we have a lot of people who love that style of comedy as well. He calls me up. He auditions, I think, a week later. And he's like, what have I done? And I'm like, see, this is so weird, right? And we're, you know, talking back and forth about this weird feeling of coming off stage after you've done exactly what you meant to do, but feeling like you've really messed up. And then we start talking about this weird phenomenon of it just kind of throws you around. And the whole time there, it's kind of using you, this massive machine that is America's Got Talent. It feels like, okay, I'm kind of being used. This is a weird feeling, but knowing like there's so many variety artists who have also done AGT and feel and have felt that way, but were very bitter because they went on as, you know, a juggler, they went on as a ventriloquist or whatever and did their awesome skill, but didn't get the time to prove themselves to be a good performer, or they were set up to be a reject act, but they weren't told, like the audience was told to boo. Like, there's so many aspects that can give somebody a bad taste as a variety artist.
I've had a lot of people on this show that have said they have not gone on AGT because they were afraid that might happen.
And they're wise to do that because you don't have control. Like if you get booked to do a performance, you know, and you're getting paid, they're going to do everything they can to make you comfortable in a way that makes whatever you're performing work. Like they sure. paid you to be there to do your job and they don't want to mess it up.
Right. And not only that, if you look good, they look good.
They want to be, yeah, they want to be successful in the whole, like yeah. I chose this guy thing. AGT is definitely not that way. And people know that. And so you're warned, be careful. This could be a total waste of your time. And if you're okay with it being a total waste of your time, then go ahead and do it. I knew from the get-go what it was, and I knew what I was getting into. But you don't know that feeling until you actually have it. So we kind of commiserated a little bit, and then we're like, okay, that was an experience. I had two other guys that were pretty good friends of mine that I knew had went on AGT as well, and I knew that they definitely didn't have a very positive experience from it. And I was like, what if we got together, kind of floated the idea, and they were like, yes, they were down. We did the show. This was last year, so I'm a caterpillar. Kevin's a robot. My buddy Mark was a comic character. A couple other characters that went on stage to do stand-up. And then I reached out to a couple other guys. Like I vaguely knew Alex from another gig and other things. I knew him from the community. And Christy Joy, kind of from the community, but not yeah. not that well. And so whenever I reach out to them, they're a little skeptical. These people that don't really know me well. Like, are you going to bring me on another stage to boo me up? Like, I'm not yeah. sure I want to do this. I had to convince these guys that it's like, no, this is like a fun... We're rejects trying to get another chance, but really yeah. we're just here to have fun and to do our acts as they were meant to be done on a stage that is available to have our acts on it, not pre-planned or something. We do this show last year and it was a blast. And the backstage was, I'll never forget, like the being so surprised that like... We put together something much more than just a little variety show. It was like almost a therapy session in a way, where we were sitting around talking about like, did they say this to you? Yeah. I was sitting backstage for like 8 hours, and they're like, I was there for 9, and like, this was wild, right? I'm not crazy to think this was kind of like a wild experience, and be like, no. I felt like I did something wrong when I got off stage. Like, okay, great. It wasn't like I did something wrong. It was just like, that's the way it feels. You're like, yes. And all that being said, a lot of variety mm-hmm. artists hate AGT because they're taking people's talents and not paying, and they're broadcasting, they're using you. And in all intents and purposes, yes, that's true. They steal your act. They don't credit you, and then they use you. But at the same time, it's a platform that you do get to utilize, and it's free for you. It's not a pay to play. Like, there's so many other things yep. in this world that you have to pay a website to get your stuff. There's like Gig Salad. You got to pay this absorbent amount of money to keep your profile and up there, and to make sure you are right. broadcast in the right way. And Gig Salad is the exact same thing as AGT. It's just a different way to get your name and get your act out there. And so there's controversy with the show itself, and people can feel like they're malicious in a way. And if you look at it the right way, you could definitely feel that. But for me, I didn't have an act that was quote unquote worthy of being on their stage, and I've made it work for me in that way. This show was just for me to connect with those other people, and hopefully, like, in a way, I found out it, in a way, it was kind of like us connecting and being like, we're doing great, and I love what you do, and I think it's great. Let's celebrate that. I'm having these people around me that are going on AGT and I feel like, oh, we have to do something. So I decided to do it again this year and have, because this year I had a couple of people that I knew very well. Again, I knew Corey and I knew Dave, but then other people that I had never met before and saw their bits and then looked at their comedy and was like, oh, these guys seem like they'd be my friends. And so,
yeah.
And sure enough, like we meet and it's a blast. They're good people that are doing their thing and had similar experiences. And so we share that similar experience. So
yeah, you did the same thing as I did when I saw your show, which was hilarious. I was dying laughing. I went with my daughter and her girlfriend, and it was so fun and so funny. Oh, it was a celebration. It was a celebration of all the odd talents, and you all got to do what you do fully formed the entire act, as opposed to 30 seconds or the 90 seconds that they give you before someone exits.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a great time. I mean, you were hilarious. The audience loved you guys.
Yeah, yeah. And that's such a wonderful feeling to get people cheering for you and laughing at your dumb jokes that didn't land in this other audience. That's redemption, and it feels good. So there is a little, I think everybody experienced that. All the acts I felt got that. I mean, that's my biggest joy. Like, if we're getting real deep here with just the people's meaning of life and their vocation, what they feel like they've been put on this earth to do, that's it for me. Like, I get the most joy from people laughing at what I've created and what I've like kind of orchestrated, and getting to sit there and enjoy that. Oh, I love that. I love it. It is so fulfilling. So to like the live shows or something that I've been able to put together. I mean, these aren't my acts. They're friends of mine or like other comedians who have like sensibilities, and getting to like watch people laugh at them. I feel like it just gives me so much joy. And then being able to do my thing and getting that, it's truly, truly fulfilling.
Next up is the guy known as Andy Pigkins with the 8-foot pig puppet and papers flying all over the stage. It's Dave Getzel. Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Oh, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you taking some time out of your busy vacation to talk with me for a minute.
Sure, no problem.
Now, tell us a little bit about your act. What does your act look like?
Well, I use my puppet, Andy Pigkins, which is an 8-foot puppet that I made.
Mm-hmm.
Like a very, very weird homemade puppet. It's hard to describe if you haven't seen it. It's just something I kind of put together myself, knowing nothing about puppetry or sewing, really.
Oh, is that? Well, then how did you put it together? What made you decide to do a giant 8-foot puppet if you didn't have experience in it?
Well, I had made a doll as a gift for someone a few years ago. That was like a real learning experience as to making something like this. And after doing that, I kind of just thought of, I pictured making like a giant puppets and how ridiculous they would come out looking, knowing that I don't really know what I'm doing.
So how did you take that and say, gosh, I think I'm going to audition for AGT with my giant puppet?
Yeah, well, I had kind of taken them out performing for at least a couple of years before I did America's Got Talent. I had a couple of friends go on in season 13. It seemed like they're kind of looking for weird acts, especially local ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of felt like I knew I had to go through the whole audition process, but there was never a moment where I didn't really think that I would get on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it just seemed like they want weird stuff for everyone to boo. Mine seemed to fit that.
So do you think you were put on there specifically for that?
Oh, yeah. I think the producers definitely just pictured the puppet getting booed.
Did they tell you that ahead of time, or did you just kind of figure it out?
Oh, no, not at all. I just figured that out. And it's actually not at all how things went down. I got a very good reaction from the crowd at America's Got Talent.
No.
But then they edited it and put in like a lot of stock footage of people booing me. So they pretty much just manufactured what they wanted from the start.
Oh, so some of that footage of the booing is not even yours?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't get booed at all.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the audience laughed at me. I mean, I was fully expecting to be booed because I had a few people I knew went on in season 13. And everyone talked to me, said that they walked out and just got booed instantly. So, like, I was very prepared for that. And it just wasn't what happened.
So tell me in your own, what exactly happened then?
Well, I went out for a while and I talked to the judges. They didn't really show any of my judge interaction. Most of what my judge interaction was me staying in character as my puppet, Andy Pidkins.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of annoyed Simon and Howie mostly. So they kept trying to get me to break and I wouldn't. Well, I didn't really want to go on as myself. Like I didn't necessarily want to be recognized as the guy with the shitty puppet.
So did you get the four X's? Was that for real?
Oh yeah. They all X'd me.
Okay. So you get the call from or email from Seth Ward. To mm-hmm. do the reject show, the AGT reject show. So how did that come about?
Well, I mean, I've known Seth Ward for like 5 years. We're really good friends. He had done one of these the first time he got kicked off as the Caterpillar. He had done an America's Got Talent reject show.
Mm-hmm.
So I had been to that one. So I kind of figured he probably might do it again. So when he emailed me, it wasn't a surprise.
And so how did that feel when I was in the audience for the America's Got Talent rejects? It was really, really funny. And my whole family, we had a great time.
Yeah, that show was a lot of fun. I felt like everyone got a good response from what I could tell. I was backstage for most of it. Yeah, I mean, when I did my bit, I mean, it was very dark in the theater, so I couldn't tell how many people were there, but it sounded like a lot of laughs.
So when you're backstage hearing the other acts, knowing that it isn't like AGT, you're not getting buzzed, are you thinking, well, this might be okay?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I never get worried about that bit that I did because it's really a bit that's impossible to mess up because it's like the worse you do, the more funny it is for that particular bit. For that bit, it's like I have this puppet and he gives a presentation basically as his bit. And it's just like I have these giant awkward puppets that aren't well designed and are pretty impossible to use and impossible to do anything with. So I've always found like if I'm actually trying to do things that are very awkward and impossible to do with the puppets, that gets laughs from the audience.
And the more awkward, the funnier it is, huh?
Yeah. So like usually I try to do the bit as well as I can. For America's Got Talent, I had to kind of change it because they wanted me to cut it down to a 90-second bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I do the presentation with a puppet, on America's Got Talent, I just knocked all my stuff over right away. But usually I kind of try to keep it together and then it just ends up happening that everything falls apart.
So what else do you do on top of the Andy Pidkins thing?
Yeah, well, most of my art, I do like animation and cartoons.
Oh.
I've been doing that for a long time. And Andy Pidkins was a character from my cartoons. Like all the puppets I make were cartoon characters I made that I made puppets of them sort of to bring them into the real world and another way to perform with them and get the characters out there.
Well, what do you do with your animation?
It's been a good 4 or 5 years that I've been putting my cartoons out there and playing them around town.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, I think, in LA, like, in the comedy scene for sure would know my stuff and it's been playing out there. Seth Ward does a monthly show that I play them at and other little shows here and there. It's always funny to me, like I feel like with my cartoons, they're so weird. The fact that a lot of the audience is just confused by them makes them funnier to me.
Well, where can someone see those cartoons of yours? Because I'm dying to see them.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I have a YouTube under the username HB Goetzel, spelled Goetzl.
I'll certainly put that on our show notes page too.
Okay.
Thanks for hanging out with me, Dave. This was great.
All right. Thanks. This is fun.
And we'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Bye. My next guest is Eric Hellwig, known as Death. Hey, Eric, how's it going?
Hey, it's going good, man. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join me today.
Yeah, no worries.
Now, tell us about your act on AGT. What exactly did you do?
Sure. So I have a character on the Grim Reaper. The act itself I've been doing for years, starting back when I lived in New York. And the idea was that the Grim Reaper tries new artistic things every week or every month.
Uh-huh.
So for AGT, we did the Grim Reaper doing stand-up comedy.
Okay.
So that was the act. It was just the Grim Reaper standing up there with a microphone telling some jokes.
By the way, my family and I, we were watching this and we were cracking up. We were saying, why isn't Death going to the second round? What's the deal with that?
He was robbed.
So you've been doing that act for a long time? Have you been doing the whole makeup thing, the whole thing?
When I was doing it in New York, I had a friend it was this show we used to do at a place called the People's Improv Theater called Welcome to Hell. Mm-hmm. It was a monthly show where the different creatures from hell would come on stage and try to do something artistic. So yeah, Death is, you know, he's tap danced, he's read poetry, I've sang. And then like me, Eric, in my life, as I was getting into stand-up, I started doing Death doing stand-up. And that was the most fun, I thought, just because it was, it was an opportunity to work on some of the jokes I was writing, but kind of hide behind a really fun character. That just kind of morphed into Death doing his own thing. So this was like maybe 3 years ago, me and my friend who kind of co-created the character with me, we wrote a pilot for Death. We shot that.
And, wait, you shot a pilot with Death?
Yeah, there's a full-length pilot called Death Lives that you can, if you just Google it, you can watch it on Vimeo. Yeah, it's a 21-minute comedy pilot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you can see Death become human and walk around New York. It's cool. We shot it. It was the first thing I'd ever produced.
Uh-huh.
It was an arduous task to get it done. I mean, we spent like almost a full year just building up the funds to do it. And kind of at that point, we had to really kind of beg, borrow, and steal to get it shot. It exists. It's out there in the ether. It's Googleable.
What made you decide to go on AGT then?
So it was honestly, I met a casting director who really liked the character. And at the time she was working on The Gong Show. Her name's Nyla Durrani. I don't mind saying her name.
Okay.
She was like, I think he was in the process of getting on The Gong Show, and then that show got canceled.
Right.
And Nyla was like, well, we'll see if there's something else for him. And then 8 months later, she texts me and she's like, how do you feel about AGT? And I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. You know, we talked about it and I was like, yeah, it'll be fun. And I kind of like prepared myself for, you know, who knows how 3,000 people are going to react to the Grim Reaper telling jokes about killing their grandparents. Like it might not go great.
Yeah.
So I think we made the decision like it would be good exposure for the character to do it.
Mm.
And so that was the thinking behind it. And then literally like as soon as we shot the show, you know, there's a 2-month lapse from when you shoot it to when it airs on TV, maybe 3 months.
Right.
My wife and I, my wife does comedy too. We actually started an Instagram page with Death to start like building a little following.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time AGT aired, we had a place to kind of send people to, you know, if they liked Death, they wanted to see more of it. We've got the pilot. We've got an Instagram page where he's, you know, being an Instagram star every day. So we kind of had some more opportunities to, you know, show what he can do.
Did AGT boost your Instagram followers and all of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got up to like 2,000 followers very quickly.
Mm.
And that's mostly just from AGT and the weeks after.
Great.
It was fun to see people react to it. Like we were like the day it aired on TV, we were just online responding to people commenting about the character. And it's exactly what we wanted. It's people either love it or they hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, that's perfect. I don't want people indifferent about it.
Right. So. Cause they're paying attention.
Exactly. And it's supposed to be unsettling. That's the idea.
So you get the four X's, which I didn't think was fair.
It's not fair.
And then Seth Ward gives you a call or he emails you for the America's Got Talent reject show.
Seth Ward is the nicest human being ever.
Truthfully.
He emails us. He says, I want to put this show together. I think I wrote back within 5 minutes. Let's do it. And then as soon as we get there, like I'd never actually met him in real life, but he is as positive in real life as he is on the show. Like that is not an act. He's a genuinely sweet guy that sees the best in people and wants everyone to succeed. So he put together this show at Dynasty Typewriter, which is a great, great theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I just showed up and did my act for whatever it was, 7 or 8 minutes, but it was so much fun. It was backstage getting to see all the acts kind of exist in the way that I think they're meant to. I mean, we were all laughing so hard at everybody's act. It's one of the most supportive green rooms I've ever been in.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was a lot of fun. I'm really, really glad I did the show.
Well, when I went and saw the show, it was a lot of fun. And I will tell you that you stared down my daughter.
Oh, no.
As death. That was me sitting right next to her. I don't know if you remember the routine, but it scared the heck out of her. It was great.
How old is your daughter?
She's 21.
All right. Okay. I don't feel so bad then.
No, she wasn't like, you weren't staring down like a 7-year-old or anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the actual act I do as death is a lot dirtier in real life than it is on the AGT show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so the AGT, and they also kind of cut around the stuff you see on the show are not all the jokes I told. The booing starts in real life when I start talking about some of the scarier elements of being death. The show you came to, you got to see a little more of, you know, because I was doing a one-man show in New York for a little bit as death as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you saw a closer version of what I like to do with the character, which is kind of make people laugh halfway out of the jokes and halfway out of fear.
Yeah.
That I might just jump into the audience and take their soul.
It was kind of halfway funny and halfway uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's the sweet spot, man. That's the sweet it's spot.
Perfect. Yeah, my daughter talks about it to this day. She liked it.
Oh, my God, that's great. Well, tell her to follow the Instagram page. You can see more death.
On top of you do death, and do you also do standard stand-up comedy as not death?
Yeah, I'm a stand-up comedian. I've been working at that for 7 or 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in LA now. I host a weekly show at a place called Skiptown Playhouse in East Hollywood.
Mm.
That's every Thursday, 8 o'clock, called Barely Making It LA. You can check that out.
Right.
Yeah, the focus is mostly just stand-up and writing.
Mm.
The death character has always been kind of just like a pet project that I say we because I have a co-writer that I work with in New York.
Yeah.
That's just a project we've kind of just, we pushed the ball forward a little bit every year for the last 7 years, just finding new fun ways to get the character out there. And every time we find the next avenue to go down with the character, we learn more about him.
He's a very multidimensional character, that death.
He really is. And what's great about him is, what's great about it is when I put the makeup on, you know, I'm not recognizable to people who know me. Like I'll walk up to someone who knows me and they won't know it's me because I have a different voice and obviously my face is hidden. So what's nice about that is like people kind of map their own stuff onto the character, right?
Right.
If someone's had like a near-death experience or someone's just died in their family, whatever they're going through in their life, that's what they see when he comes walking in.
Mm.
The jokes that I tell as that character, they hit on a different level for every person in the audience. And that's why I don't get laughs at the same time. It's not like punchline laugh. Some people laugh at the setup because something in the setup reminds them about something in their life.
Mm.
It's just fun to watch people react to that character. I don't even feel like it's me. It's like I'm just like in his head watching people react to him. It is fun. It's a blast every time I get to do it.
It looks like a fun thing. One of the things that we really enjoyed is we had fun watching the character, of course, but then afterwards we met you after it's exactly what you're saying. We met you afterwards and we said, oh my gosh, that's death. He's so happy and nice and friendly.
It's very sweet of you, man. Yeah. I mean, look, before I go on stage as that character, you know, I'm thinking about babies and blenders and sad stuff. Like I'm trying to get into character to imagine what this guy has had to do in his life. But yeah, when it's done, it's always a thrill. And I gotta be honest, like, you know, without patting myself on the back too much, it's fun. I've never had a negative experience doing that character. And I include the AGT experience with that.
Mm.
It always hits people in a weird way. And it's, as a performer, it's, I mean, it's almost like a cheat code when you go on stage in that makeup and that costume and with those jokes. I feel like it's impossible to fail.
As an audience member, we remember it. We remember it because it is uncomfortable and it is a little bit kooky, you know, and something unusual. And it reaches deep into our souls. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Eric, for doing my show. I really enjoyed having you on here.
Yeah, man. I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Make sure to visit Eric's Instagram and subscribe there at Death Lives TV. Next up is a woman doing something tremendous for the community. It's Stacy Michelle. Hey, Stacy, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for doing this.
No, thank you for having me on. This is a great opportunity. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you. Now, tell me about your AGT experience.
Oh, wow. Okay. Which part would you like to know about?
Well, first, tell me what was your act?
So my act, I was the singing gargler or the gargling singer. I think that's more accurate. The gargling singer.
Okay.
I was contacted, you know, by people who were scouting strange talent, I guess you can say.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, "You have a weird talent." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know if you call it talent, but this is something that I can do." And so they liked the sound of that. So I went to the auditions and the producers were like, "Oh, we love it." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm gonna win this competition."
Okay.
I got this in the bag. So yes, I made it to the audition part in front of the judges on stage in front of the live audience. And I did my thing and mm-hmm. I did it with as much gusto and, you know, conviction as I possibly had. And I'm like, this is my moment. And then I got buzzed up.
So how did that feel?
I didn't particularly care that a couple of the judges buzzed me because Simon liked me.
He did.
When you have Simon's stamp of approval, you're like, hey, you know what? I feel like I passed some rite of passage here. This is what happened if you watch the tape or a replay of it. Simon didn't initially buzz me. It was Juliana who buzzed me initially, or it may have been Gabrielle. And then Juliana, and I think maybe Howie did, or maybe he didn't, I can't remember. Juliana actually hit Simon's buzzer for him.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, and he says, "I actually like what you're doing. I kind of like that," and she hit the buzzer, and he looks at her and says, "This is why I don't like you." And I'm like, Simon liked me.
So later, Seth Ward contacts you for the America's Got Talent reject show, which I love, by the way. I'm going to say that about 10 times during this interview.
Yes.
What happens there? He contacts you, then what?
Okay, so when I got the email, I honestly thought it was a joke. I thought I was being spammed or something. The America's Got Talent reject show. Like, I just looked at it, and I honestly thought it was like just some jokey email. And for some reason, opened it anyway. You know, I could have gotten into a Nigerian money scam for all I knew.
Yeah. While you're on this, can I have your credit card number, please?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me go get it.
Yeah.
I read it. Yes, I think this is a scam or something, but for some reason, I opened it anyway. I guess I'm gullible like that. I saw what it was, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be dope. You know, I get to actually go up on stage and complete my act. Well, I did complete it on the show, but they didn't air the entire act.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, an audience will actually get to see me go up and do my thing without fear of being buzzed, and I'll get to meet the other rejects, and we'll just have a reject party. It was great.
Yeah.
And when I got there, I can honestly say, yeah, I see why we were all buzzed off.
But it was fun. It was so fun.
It was fun. It was so much fun. Seth is a great guy, and I'm so grateful that he actually put this together.
He's a good guy, and he's really, really funny.
Yes, he is.
What else do you do? We only see the 2 minutes that you're on AGT. What else do you do in addition to the gargle singing?
Well, that's the first thing I do in the morning. That's part of my habit in the morning. Good habits, you know, make a good day.
So wait. You wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, I think I'll do some gargle singing. That's a good way to start off the day.
Well, sure. After you brush, then you got to gargle and you got to sing while you're gargling.
I might have to try that.
Tony Robbins has his priming. I have my gargle singing.
What else do you do on top of that?
So I'm a comedian. I do stand-up comedy occasionally, but I think my comedy wheelhouse, where I most enjoy expressing my comedy, is through sketch comedy. So I'm a sketch writer. I do improv as well. I graduated from the Second City's conservatory program last summer, their two-year program. And I just really fell in love with creating sketches and collaborating with other funny people. And I discovered that I really enjoy watching people perform in things that I wrote more than I enjoy performing in them.
So
that kind of clued me in that I might be more of a writer than a performer. Even though I love being in front of the camera, I really, really enjoy watching people bring themselves to material that I've written. So I really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
I am also an aspiring late night comedy writer, for late night talk shows. So I've been putting together writing packets for the last year or so, sending those out and getting nothing back, but that's okay. You got to keep doing it.
It's the journey, enjoy the journey. It's the process.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm also an actor, and I'm also, I guess you could say, a recent advocate for adults with ADHD, but specifically African-American women with ADHD. I'm creating a YouTube channel as we speak, based in humor, but to educate about how to manage ADHD symptoms and just educating about it, because it's one of those things that people, I think, I won't say take seriously, but it's not recognized as an impairment like other disorders are. So I think it's something that people need to know about more, because it can kind of be a punchline. Yeah, everybody's got ADHD, or yeah, my ADD is acting up today.
Right.
No, it's not unless you actually have it. So.
Yeah, ironically, I've had a lot of entertainers on this program that have ADHD. And in fact, when I stop recording this, I'm going to tell you a couple to listen to that I've interviewed that have ADHD and have actually talked about it on the interview.
It can be debilitating if it goes untreated. And unfortunately, especially with females, but most especially with African-American women, is that it does go undiagnosed. It can often be misdiagnosed as other symptoms or as other conditions like bipolar disorder, depression, anxiety, and all of those tend to be, traveling buddies with ADHD anyway.
Yeah.
But unless you're treating the ADHD, you will find that trying to treat the other things that are going on won't be as effective because you're not getting to the root of the problem.
Right. So once you're diagnosed with ADHD, what happens?
That depends on you as the person, really, because I'll tell you, I was actually diagnosed 20 years ago. Except for the initial diagnosis, I didn't really take it seriously because I didn't really think that was a thing. I'm like, that's a thing that white boys have, it didn't process in my head that, oh, this is serious. So I pretty much ignored it, not willfully, but just out of ignorance, because I stopped going to my therapist. I forgot about it. I forgot I had ADHD. Mm. And honestly, you can't be more ADHD than forgetting that you have ADHD. But ADHD does not forget about you ever. So for the last 20 years, pretty much every chaotic moment, every string of financial just catastrophe, just pretty much everything that has made my life go upside down or sideways and me not progressing in the way that I feel like I should be progressing or not reaching my full potential or broken relationships or just, difficulty doing everything can be directly traced to untreated ADHD. And
wow.
So I got re-diagnosed kind of by accident earlier this spring. And now I'm in treatment. Now I take medication for it. And the difference is night and day. It's like, if only I had started the treatment 20 years ago, I would have a completely different life right now. Completely. I'm absolutely certain of it.
Wow.
And not that my life has been bad, but it definitely, I wouldn't be going around the same mountain multiple times trying to get somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
So anybody who wants more information on that, wants to take a look at your YouTube channel, where can they go?
Well, my YouTube channel is in progress right now.
Okay.
So I'm in the middle of creating it. I have not launched it yet. I'm creating videos right now. But if someone wants information about ADHD, I recommend anybody go to CHAD. It's Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder. If they just type in CHADD, I feel like that is the preeminent source of all information for CHAD. CHAD, I would say, is a great place to start.
And when you get that YouTube channel going, you make sure you contact me and I'll put it on my Variety Arts Community Facebook group page.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you for doing my show. I appreciate it, Stacey.
Yeah, I thank you for letting me come on and have a chance to share my experience with AGT and also, you know, to just let me talk a little bit about ADHD.
My next guest is impressionist Corey Jacob. Hey, Corey, how's it going?
Hey, John. Awesome. How are you?
Good, good, good. I'm having all of you guys on here from America's Got Talent Rejects. So tell us, in the show, in AGT and in the show, what was your act?
I was a talking toilet at Warner Brothers who does impressions.
See, I love this concept. So tell me the impressions that you did, or tell me kind of the concept, the idea.
Yeah, I kind of came up with the concept because I do impressions, and every time I see people do impressions, it's like a guy wearing a suit, and he's like, oh, some celebrities are trapped in an elevator or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it just seems so boring and kind of contrived to me. So I wanted, and I do a lot of characters, like original character work. So I kind of wanted to combine doing a character and doing impressions.
Mm.
I thought it would be a little more interesting, but I think I was wrong.
I don't know. I loved your act when I saw it on the AGT Reject show. It was great. It was hilarious. I was laughing. My whole family was laughing hilariously.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. I mean, it plays differently depending where I do it. Like if I do it at a live comedy theater, it tends to do better. But yeah, for television, especially America's Got Talent, I don't think it was the best act to do.
Now, you only have, what is it, a minute, you said, or 2 minutes?
Yeah, well, they give you 2 minutes for the show. They want you to keep your act 2 minutes or less when you film it. But I only made it to about 30 seconds. They started booing me right away.
And then when you got contacted to do the Reject show, how did that go about? Or how did that come about?
I've known Seth Ward for years now, probably like 8 years or something. We used to perform on an improv team together, and one of my improv teams was paired with his team. So I've known him for years. And yeah, so Seth asked me to do it, and I was very happy to do it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun doing the live show. Actually, it felt like a bit of redemption doing the live show.
I'll bet it did, because we had a great time.
Oh, thank you so much for coming.
A lot of folks think that what they see on TV, the 30 seconds that they see, is all you're about. What other things are you doing theatrically?
Oh, I do original characters, stand-up, sketch comedy. I host a character show at the Pack Theater called What a Character. It's the house character team. I was on a sketch team as a writer-performer there for 3 years. And then, yeah, I've been doing a lot more stand-up lately.
And I also read that you are part of the Upright Citizens Brigade.
I've done a lot of training and stuff there. I'm not like on a house team or anything. I perform there once in a while. And I'm also in the Groundlings program.
For those of you that don't know, in Los Angeles, the Groundlings are one of the top improv groups in the world, basically, right?
Yeah, they're character-based improv, and SNL, like Jimmy Fallon, Will Ferrell, Melissa McCarthy. Recently, my pal Chloe Fineman got selected for SNL. She just did the Sunday Company there. It's a really nice training ground for comedians to develop their characters.
And before you did AGT, were you doing all this stuff too?
Yeah, I've done that character show, the What a Character team, for almost 3 years now. So every month we'll do an original character or impression. It was actually the first time I did that character, the talking toilet who does impressions. Because
I don't know why that's so funny to me, but it is.
I know. I thought it was so stupid. I wanted to do impressions, but I wanted it to be a little more exciting or stupid. So I was like, okay, who would be around celebrities a lot? And I'm like, the toilet in a star wagon at Warner Brothers. A star wagon is like where the actors wait when they're on set and stuff. So I'm like, oh yeah, a toilet in the Star Wagon would have met many celebrities and heard them speak, so therefore he can imitate them.
Heard them speak and do something else, right?
Yeah, and the premise of my act was like what they sound like when they use the restroom.
Okay.
Al Pacino had a little trouble making a number two. And then the cast of Breaking Bad was there. So Aaron Paul was in there, and Bill Burr was annoying him by knocking. And
so did you think to yourself, well, what if I make it through round one? Do I have something for round number two? Number two.
Yeah, that's funny. Actually, you're assigned a producer when you get cat, when they approve your act, you're assigned a producer. And I was talking to her, and I sent her a list of like 100 impressions I could do, and like the ones that I'm really good at, and then like the ones that I'm not as good, and the ones that I could do if I put in some work. And so we were trying to pick some of my better ones, and we're like, well, what I was like, what about round two? You know, we should save, you know, save some of the good ones for round two. And she's like, oh yeah. So like, I really thought that I had a chance to make it to the second round, because typically impressionists on the show will make it at least to like the second round, maybe sometimes the third. So yeah, I actually was taking myself seriously, but I think the whole time they were just thought I was a joke act. I put a lot of time into it. Funny story. They gave me my shoot date, and then they changed it like kind of last minute. So my parents wanted to come see it, and they were at their house in Arizona, and they had six of their friends there visiting them from out of state on the day that I was going to shoot. So they left them to come to Los Angeles, got a hotel in Pasadena to see my act. You know, I was waiting for and holding for like 10 hours or whatever. And then I finally get up, and they start booing me immediately and boo me off the stage. And I was so deflated. And then we get back to the hotel, and my dad was just kind of like staring, like looking around, like, so that's what we drove 15 hours for around.
Oh no.
It was really hilarious. The look on his face was priceless.
I guess you could look back at that as hilarious, huh?
I think it's funny. I'm not sure how he feels about it.
Yeah. I wonder, have you talked to him since then?
Yeah, I've talked to him in the past 6 months.
So when you see highlights of the show that are played over and over again, what are you thinking?
When I see highlights of the show of other people?
No, of you. Are you in one of the highlights?
I was in the, like they say, like some of these acts are terrible or whatever. And then they show me like standing there like an idiot with a toilet seat around my neck and then just getting the boogers. And yeah, so like they buzzed me after like, I just said, hello, I'm a talking toilet at Warner Brothers. As soon as I did that, they started booing. And I got to tell you, it's quite the feeling to be booed by 3,500 people at the same time. So I didn't even get to do any impressions, really. And so when I was walking off the stage, I saw Terry there waiting with a toilet bowl cleaner with me.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Terry standing there with a toilet bowl cleaner waiting to give it to me. And so I was like, I got to think of something funny to say really quick, because otherwise they're just going to cut me off of TV. So I said, I got bowled over, and that made it on the show.
It's better than nothing, huh?
Yeah, a little toilet bowl pun I snuck in there.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah. So I was DVRing America's Got Talent. I knew that Seth was on it and I wanted to see his act, and I was watching with my kids. And I always love it when we can watch something together and just really have a good laugh together.
Yeah.
They were laughing harder than I've ever heard them laugh by watching Seth falling all over the stage as the walrus and all of his physical comedy stuff. And they were so impressed that I was friends with them. And I was like, yeah, we can meet him sometime. And they're like, really? Oh my God. I was like, yeah, he's my friend. So we're hoping to catch Seth live with my kids here in the coming weeks.
Next, we're going to visit with Nikki Bond. Hey, Nikki, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. Let's cut to the chase here. Tell us about your AGT experience.
So it was pretty, it was quite the ride. I went in as Instagirl with the intention of knowing that she would be made fun of.
How did you know that or think that?
Because it's a character that I do on the internet to make fun of social media influencers, the narcissists. And so I had watched AGT a little bit and I saw the types of people that were being cast. And I was like, you know what? I think that this character is actually really good for the show. Yeah. And so I knew Nyla, and I reached out to her and I said, hey, can I think that Instagirl would be good for this. And then she had me do a tape, and then I went in for the audition. So you go in, and I did quite a few auditions, and then a couple days before, I found out that I was going to be brought in to do it.
Is there more than just you walking on stage and then giving you the bug real quick? There is more?
Yeah. I was on stage for like 8 to 10 minutes. I actually did a talent, and that was that I can do a drum line through my nose. It was awesome. It was so good. Like, everybody hated it. They were booing me, but Howie Mandel was doing the drum roll, the nose drum line with me into his microphone. It was amazing. I was so bummed that it didn't, that they cut all of that out. Cause it was pretty epic.
That's amazing. I'd love to have tape on that.
I know. It was great. And then Simon got up, ran across, and buzzed Howie's buzzer for him.
They only showed 10 seconds of it?
Yeah. They only showed me walking on saying hi, and then they buzzed me off and then me saying bye. But there was a whole long bit.
Wow. Now, I saw your bit at America's Got Talent Rejects, and I thought it was funny. You're hilarious, man.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, so that's like what I did.
So when you get the call from Seth Ward to do the live show America's Got Talent Rejects, so how did that all come about?
I got an email from him. It was exciting. It was like, oh, sweet, it's not over yet. And he asked if I could do it. And I said, yeah, which is great that it worked out. I love it. It was fun to come together with everybody and be all kind of do it together and see each other's act.
Yeah. And you got to do your entire act, right?
I got to do my entire act, yeah. I added to it stuff that I didn't do on America's Got Talent because I had more time, but I got to do like my song, which was great.
That's great. By the way, what is your Instagram? Because I've seen your Instagram. It's hilarious. You do a lot of fun stuff. At least two different characters that I've seen, right?
Yeah. I put two different characters on there. I do Instagirl, which is like your narcissist hot girl. More Kardashian-y. And then I do Ocean, which is kind of like your Venice Beach boho. Let's make a difference in the world. Classic. Likes their taupe, white, and beige colors, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and then I also do, I haven't done them in a little bit, but if you scroll down, there's a voicemail lip sync where I do lip syncs of actual weird voicemails that people have gotten. But my Instagram is Nikki Bon, NIKKIBON.
Excellent. And you also have a podcast, right?
Yeah, I do a podcast with comedian Nicole Amy Schreiber. Mm-hmm. It's called Getting to Know You. And it started like we were at the Comedy Store and she approached me in the hallway and was like, I know I've seen your stuff. We both went to camp, but a different camp. And so we bonded over that. And then she said, can we do a podcast where we only get to know each other through the podcast and not through social media or anything else like that? And I was like, yeah. So we did that and we only talked through our podcast. We never talked outside of it and got to know each other. And then now in season two, what we're doing is we're going to Griffith Park and talking to strangers and just getting to know strangers that talk to us, which has been very interesting.
Wow. What's the name of that?
It's called Getting to Know You.
Okay. They can find it on Apple Podcasts or wherever they get their podcasts.
Spotify, all of it. Yeah, wherever you get your podcasts.
Gotcha. Now, my daughter is a huge fan of yours. I think I mentioned that before our interview. She had a quick question for you. She said, how do you get so many followers on Instagram?
Oh, man. That is next level. That's just like the following thing. Social media kills me. Like, I can't go on it. It's not good for my mental health, I'll be honest. Like, a lot of comparison. And some people love it, but I can't do it. The best way to get followers is you go, you like other people's stuff, you follow them, you unfollow them, you like, you have to be really engaged. I actually have I had a social media manager for a little bit where I got him to do the engagement because I was like, I can't do this. I can't do the, so then he's done that, but it's been great because then it gets my stuff out there. And like through that, I've gotten fans, which is awesome. If I was 16, I might be able to do it, but I can't do it now. Yeah. I'm creating, but I don't have the time to go and get the following, you know, and go and be as engaged with other people.
It's the time. The time is tough to arrange, isn't it?
It is. It is. And you know, if you do love looking at stuff, it's awesome for those people. But for me, it's just like not good for me. Like I am not good on social media. It doesn't make me feel good. Mm. It's not really my forte. Yeah. I like posting stuff, but that's it.
Yeah. Now you're in St. Louis right now. Is that right?
I'm in St. Louis.
Are you working or working vacation? What are you doing?
I'm doing a show here.
What are you doing?
Stand up.
Oh.
Stand-up show. Yeah, I'm in a festival.
So obviously you do more than just the 3 seconds that you were on AGT.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I do stand up. I do stand up too.
Of course,
yeah.
Of course. I was kind of joking about that.
I'm like, no. You know what? That is all I do. I say hi. I look like a hot bimbo and then I walk away. That is me.
That's it. That's all you've done for your entire life.
That's it. It's it. And it takes a lot of practice.
At home, you walk into your living room and then you walk right back out. You're like, hi, living room. And then you walk right back out.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I've been doing it at this festival the whole time, been saying hi and then walking away.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Well, thank you, Nikki, for doing my show. This is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the interview.
And lastly, it's comedian and famous belly button poker, Jay Light. Hey, Jay, what's going on?
Hey, not much, John. I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for doing this.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Now, tell me a little bit about your AGT experience.
So for AGT, I did an act with an old friend who no longer does comedy, but we used to do some shows together. He and I poked each other's belly buttons with our shirts off.
So you do all sorts of crazy things. You're a stand-up comedian, but now you're famous for poking somebody in a belly button.
Yeah, we got picked up. It was the weirdest thing because we were doing the show. And we were asked to submit, not necessarily us, but they said they were looking for acts in the sort of alternative realm. I couldn't think of anything. I was like, well, let's just do this and we'll see I doubt that they'll pick it up. But they liked it and they asked us to come in and audition. So we jumped through a couple hoops and then we did the audition. And now we're poking belly buttons on TV. Very strange. It's the thing I've done that my parents have laughed the hardest at. So, you know, great for my comedy psyche.
Do you get asked to go on different TV shows and poke different famous people in belly buttons now?
God, no, I'd like to though. If there's anybody listening who's booking for TV shows, get me on the Today Show, Good Morning America. I'll poke George Stephanopoulos' belly button. I'll poke any belly button you need me to.
I think that's a great idea. Go around poking famous people in the belly button.
The thing is, it's a two-way street, you know? Like, I don't want to just be poking belly buttons because they get to poke my belly button too, and I keep it clean. There's no lint in there. That was the thing. After we did the poking for the actual audition, they added a lot of stuff out, but there's me and Terry Crews were hanging out and gave each other a high five, and he was like, I hope you wash your hands. And I was like, yeah, well, my belly button's clean. Terry Crews, come poke my clean belly button. I need you, buddy.
Well, there you go. That's what you need to get is pictures of you poking Terry Crews and him poking you in the belly button.
Now that, yeah, that's how I level up.
So you get the call from Seth Ward, and he says, I'm doing this America's Got Talent reject show. So what are you thinking when you get that email?
So when he hit me up, I was immediately on board because I know the thing is, it was – we get sort of free reign, and I am not necessarily a belly button poker by trade. So I knew that I could show off some of my main comedic talent. And then I get a chance to spread the belly button poking love and show things off as we didn't get a chance really to do on AGT.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a song choice that we originally weren't allowed to use. So I got to bring that back and it was nice. You know, I got to sort of go back to like the classic belly button poking style.
Well, some of your comedy isn't necessarily TV friendly, I think.
No, of course. I would say in general, I'm not the most TV friendly comedian as far as my material goes. My look, very TV friendly, but the material is a little bit darker than that.
Well, that's one of the reasons I think it's so funny is because of your look. You know, when you get on stage, we think, oh, guy next door. Oh, he's going to be sweet. He's going to say really nice, sweet things.
Yeah, I think that adds, that's something that I try and play with. You know, I think that that is something over the course, yeah, I've been doing stand-up in particular for almost 9 years. Mm-hmm. I have really started to lean into that over the course of the past couple of years, because I think it is, it's one of the most fun things that I get to do is I look like this. My opening lines, I say I suffer from camp counselor face, which is very true, but I have all this this look that allows me to get away with a lot of things.
Yeah.
I've got definitely a dark streak, definitely, and I think that that is something that I really like to play out in my actual stand-up.
Now, so what were the big differences between AGT and the America's Got Talent reject show?
The reject show was great, because the thing was, the reject show compared to AGT, we all know we're sitting back there for the reject show, and we're like, yeah, we're here because we wanted to do this. We wanted to show off our thing for America's Got Talent, and they just didn't get what we were doing. The audience booed us. They had no idea what we were doing, but it's nice to be in a place at that reject show where we're all celebrated for knowing that we have something weird and funny.
Yeah.
It was great. It was refreshing. That was the strangest thing. Like, I remember being told, you know, that I was going to be auditioning and getting in front of the live judges panel and everything for AGT. And I was like, well, this is probably going to go poorly. Because I'd heard friends tell stories about being in similar situations, and you get booed, and it's not fun to get booed, but it there's something kind of exhilarating about it. But it's, I'll tell you what, it's even more exhilarating to do an act and have people appreciate what you're doing and laugh instead of just booing you. And that's what I loved about that reject show. The energy was great. Everybody was on board, having a good time, knowing that we were doing very ridiculous things and totally there for it instead of being off put.
Part of it is expectations, I imagine, because I got the message from my daughter, came in and said, oh, Seth was doing the show, America's Got Talent Rejects. We got to go see it. And then we were on board. We were ready to see something silly, some fun acts, some people doing their thing and see the whole thing. We were in.
And that's, you know, that's, you're the kind of audience member that I and all of the other performers on the AGT Reject show really, really appreciate. Because, you know, we're just there to have fun.
So what is your plan after this now? Or continuing? Because how long ago was AGT filmed?
AGT, we filmed that back in February.
So it's already been over 6 months. So yeah. What have you done or what are you doing within that 6 month period or afterwards?
So this year, I did a lot of stand-up and was doing some TV writing as well. I went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in August. Mm-hmm. And then I did an hour of stand-up there for pretty much every night. And I came back and I recorded an album.
Mm.
That album is all stand-up with a few extra fun comedy things thrown in. That'll be released in October.
Ooh.
Keep your eyes peeled for that. It'll be released on all streaming platforms.
What's going to be the name of that?
I actually don't know yet. I'm leaning towards Grown Boy.
I mean,
you're laughing, so this might be the linchpin for me deciding what to name it.
Okay.
I got a podcast that I do called Blockbusting.
Oh.
Where I have comics and movie type people on, and we talk about movies that you don't like and why you don't like them.
It's called Blockbusting?
Blockbusting, yes.
And we can get that at Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, wherever we get our podcasts?
Yeah, wherever we get your podcasts.
Hopefully some of my audience will go over there and take a listen. I know I will.
Please do. Yeah, I hope you guys hope you guys go check it out.
Yeah, I will. Well, thanks, Jay, for hanging out with me today.
Happy to be here, John. Thanks so much for having me.
That's it. The entire cast of America's Got Talent Rejects. I learned a lot today. I learned a few things about AGT and how it all works, but most importantly, I learned that each and every person on every quote-unquote reality show is a real person. They're not just people we see on TV. They each have feelings and goals and accomplishments. Thanks for listening. Make sure to visit the show notes page so you can see pics of all these folks and check out their social media. You can reach me from my Facebook page at John Abrams. I'm the guy holding the hedgehog. Just shoot me out a message. While you're there, join my Facebook group at The Variety Artist. Tune in next week when I interview sponsorship king Claude Haggerty. Now go out and book those gigs, make some money, and have some fun.
That's all for this episode of The Variety Artist, but your journey continues on our website. Go to thevarietyartist.com for more strategies, insight, and resources, as well as show notes on today's guest to assist you in your career. We'll see you on the next episode of The Variety Artist. But until then, go out and book those gigs, make some money, and have some fun.